Books of the Bible. Exodus is the story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
In this dim fog, I still don't fully believe that Nick is gone. I don't trust myself to believe it. Even though I'm the one who wrote his obituary, I find myself reading it again and again to ensure that it's all true. I've gone so far as to pinch myself, to ask Aileen to assure me I'm awake. What if I nod it off and this is all just an awful dream? What if I've fallen sick and this is some feverish nightmare? What if I mistakenly popped the wrong pill and I'm now hallucinating? Aren't those scenarios more likely than a young man just falling down dead? I tap Nick's name into my computer and find a news story. Heartbroken Boyce College students mourn the abrupt death of Nick Challies. So it is true. But somehow it still wouldn't shock me if my phone rang and I saw his name and heard his voice. I'm hovering in this place between belief and disbelief, between certainty and doubt. I don't know what to think, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to feel. I don't even know what to feel about my faith, about my God. I should pray, shouldn't I? But I don't find anything to say. I should open my Bible, right? But I can't focus on the words. My eyes flit about, skimming over chapters and verses, but never pausing long enough to absorb a thing. I feel so much and so little. The pain is searing and dull. I'm writhing in agony and laying still, crying and laughing, rejoicing and lamenting. What am I supposed to do? How can I orient myself when everything is so dim, so dull, so dark?
This is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Tim Challies, author of a new book, Seasons of Sorrow. He sat down with me for his first interview after the tragic and unexpected loss of his 20-year-old son, who died in front of his sister and fiance while studying to become a pastor. Tragedy doesn't get much more tragic than that. And yet, Tim Challies, the Canadian blogger, was willing to be transparent and work through his feelings publicly so that you and I could be helped when you and I experience the inevitable tragedy, which we will. Imagine a sailor who goes to sea thinking, "We don't need to prepare for a storm. We don't need to have lifeboats. We don't need to have sandbags." If that's what you use when your boat is battered by a storm, we'll be fine. That's a foolish sailor, and that's a foolish us if you and I fail to get ready for tragedy, because if it hasn't struck already, you're in it, or you're going to be in it. It is certain this life is not without its tears. Tim Challies, boldly helping us to work through the issue of tragedy by studying some big doctrines, providence and sovereignty. And by the way, if you notice the guy interviewing him is pretty halting and slow, it's because I think this was probably, I don't even know if probably is appropriate, this was the hardest interview I've ever done.
Yeah. So that was the beginning of this year-long journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you first discovered this and found out, how long did it take you to not feel totally disoriented?
Yeah, I think there was a fog that settled over us. I've heard some people refer to it as grief brain or something like that, where your capacity shrinks significantly. You just can't do much. And that lasted probably several months before I really felt like I emerged from that fog, where I was somewhat back to my old self. That was, you know, I think for others in the family, it took a little bit longer. Everybody's experience different. Everybody's emotions different. But it was several months before I really felt like the fog lifted and I started to be able to get back to old capacities, old responsibilities. Mm-hmm.
but it's a totally disorienting, as you state in your book, reading your Bible. I think you described it as you saw words, but couldn't get concepts out of it.
Right. Things couldn't sink in the way they usually would. I couldn't meditate or focus or really, that's part of why I wrote, because that was helpful in terms of getting ideas down.
Yeah. It would probably be pretty natural for a father to somehow want to take responsibility, because that's what we do. You know, you jump in and you want to help and you want to block.
Yeah.
In this early season, in the fall season, did you feel responsible somehow for Nick's death?
Yeah. We worked that through. We certainly wondered if there was something we should have done or something we should have seen or something we should have known that might have prevented it. But I think the deeper sense was that God was responsible for it and we were okay with that.
What? God was responsible for it and we're okay with that? How in the world can a dad who just lost his son come to that conclusion? And the answer is, he's not a foolish sailor. He's a wise Christian man who was ready for the day of tragedy by studying the doctrines of providence. God is in control of everything, and God is sovereign. And it is those two doctrines that have navigated him through the choppy waters of grief, and they will guide you too.
When you experience the first blast, one of the things that you described in the fall season was that you feared God, and you feared God, or you were afraid of God, something like that. So what? It sounds like it's the same thing.
Right.
But it's not.
No, so we fear God in the sense of knowing knowing God's power, knowing God's sovereignty, knowing who God is, knowing God's holiness. God's holiness should make us afraid, in that sense Isaiah was afraid when he witnessed God's holiness. It should bring a kind of fear into our hearts. And so we're rightly assessing the difference between God and ourselves.
A reverential fear.
Right, right. But there is also, we also realized we were a bit afraid of God in the sense that God had shown us his power in a very dramatic way, that God could just in a moment decree through his sovereignty that he would take what was most precious to us. And God didn't ask our permission. He didn't give us notice. He didn't give us time to prepare ourselves. He didn't apologize. Not that I'm saying he should have, but he just took. And we realized, well, he could take something else too. If God was this powerful and toward Nick, he could be powerful in this way toward other people we love. And so for a while, there's a sense of dread hanging over us. If God's willing to do this, what else might he be willing to do? And that was very difficult, and trying not to be afraid of God in that sense. But we do know his power in a different way now.
Yeah. I believe it was Dr. Stephen Ewell at an ACBC conference said that his dad, I think he was a pastor, asked him one day, do you know the top three descriptors of God that are most regularly visited in the Bible? And he said, well, sovereignty, holiness, nope. He's good, he's able, and he's faithful. And if you don't remember those attributes with sovereignty, then I think that it's nothing but devastation.
What are the three most common affirmations concerning God in Scripture? Number one, God is good. Number two, God is able. And number three, God is faithful. Oh, praise God, because ability divorced from goodness and faithfulness is something to be dreaded. But his ability, coupled with his goodness and his faithfulness, makes him a worthy object of our trust.
You were able to genuinely recognize there was good in this?
Yeah. Yeah, because God is good. And so if you have your trust in the character of God, that then helps you understand the actions of God. So God is good in his character. He's not doing things that are bad in his actions. We had to take that by faith. We might not have been able to see it. And one thing we wanted to pull apart was we didn't want to be too trite in saying, this is why God did this, to see one good thing that came out of it and say, well, now we can say God's good in it because this good effect came about. We had to separate why God did it from how God is using it and not completely conflate those things. Because, you know, if somebody came to the Lord through this whole situation, does that now say that's a good enough thing that it now balances out or justifies the death of our son? And we know God is bigger than that, and God is working on more levels than that, and so on. So the goodness we found in it, we just had to trust, take by faith. God is good, therefore what God does is good.
Whether there is a good outcome or not, the tragedy, the difficulty, the stress, the fears are ordained by God so that we will run to Him, rely on Him, become like Him. And that is good. Whether something good comes from it tangentially, praise God if it does. But we need to grasp and actually believe everything God does is good. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreutz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wouldn't be surprised if this weren't the book of the year. This is Wretched Radio, Seasons of Sorrow, written by a man who knows a little something about the subject, Tim Challies. His son unexpectedly died at the age of 20. He penned his thoughts. He put them into a book, and it is so profoundly helpful because it's real, it's raw, but it's also theological. So to prepare you for tragedy or to help you through your current suffering, Tim Challies' book, Seasons of Sorrow, it could be the book of the year. Sat down with him to discuss the book. He works through Seasons of Sorrow using the calendar to talk about kind of the stages. There's never neat and tidy categories or the same order for everybody when it comes to grief, but he worked through fall and then the winter season of sorrow.
Let's move into winter.
Yeah.
Did you ever ponder and wonder if God still loved you?
No. No, I never doubted God's love for me.
I've heard people, they get angry. Did you ever get angry at God?
Never. No. No, I couldn't get angry at God. I know God did nothing more than was his right to do. Again, being grounded in scriptural promises, being grounded in the doctrine of God's sovereignty, I know he's the one who gives life and who takes life away. He was the one who gave us Nick as a gift. He was the one who took him away again. So I couldn't possibly be angry at God. No.
So if somebody hears that and they think, well, that doesn't seem very emotional. It's just pretty cut and dried sort of affair. Would somebody be confused if they thought that you and Aileen and your daughters didn't cry buckets of tears?
Yeah. No, there were plenty of tears. There still are plenty of tears. We still cry very often. And I learned how to cry through this. I'm not naturally much of an emoter, but this situation taught me to cry, and I've cried plenty of tears, as have all the others. So we certainly weren't emotionless, but anger was not one of those emotions that we went to or felt any real need for. We really did believe that God is good and God is sovereign, and you put those doctrines together, there's no reason to be angry at him.
But that's the boat that will help you to cross the choppy waters. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll sink.
Right.
Without that.
Yeah. Right. You need to interpret providence. You need to know God's character and then allow God's character to interpret your providence, interpret providence, not the other way around. So you don't want to take what's happening and then modify the character of God through it. Well, this bad thing happened, therefore I'm now going to read that badness back into God. Now you establish who God is, and then when actions unfold, you keep going back to the character of God and saying, well, this is not... somehow this is consistent with the character of God. This doesn't change the character of God.
And I really think the key here to this is, and this is really delicious,
really good,
that the key to it is that you didn't walk into this theologically blind.
Right.
It was your Christian life suddenly a test. And this was just theology applied, which is why I think the encouragement, get this fixed. Because experiencing a loss like that and trying to figure out who God is, what he's like, right, the doctrine of sovereignty, I don't think you'd have a chance.
No. No. And when you experience great grief, you tend to be very emotional. Your emotions are high, and you're likely to allow emotions to lead the way. If you have lots of truth to draw upon, then those will modify or restrain your emotions or direct them at least in appropriate ways. So you can grieve, but without being angry at God.
That raises a question that I asked Tim Challies. But help practically. How do we get to that place?
What we're talking about here is really moving from philosophical dualism. Mm-hmm. I got my faith here, but I'm dealing with life over here. most struggled to bring them together.
Right.
How did you do that?
Yeah, when it comes to friendships, I'm not terribly expressive and so on. So I'm not a person who's reading the Bible and really, I don't even know how to express it except to say that I understand that this is God's personal revelation to me. God desires a relationship with me, and this is the primary means through which I expect God to speak to me, and then I in prayer respond to God. And so seeing that not as this rote back and forth, not as some purely spiritual exercise, but as a relationship. And so I love going out in the morning. That's my daily routine, is listening to the Bible for a while and then just praying for a while. And I really see that as just hanging out with God, just spending time with Him as a father to a son. And so I think through many years of doing that, just spending time with the Lord, we talk about devotions, quiet time. I talk about just spending time with the Lord. We had built a relationship where I really did come to love and to trust Him. And so then when something happened that was hard for me to, well, something I wouldn't have wanted to have happen or something that was hard for me to understand, I still had confidence in this relationship, that I had a real relationship with a father who loves me more than I as a father love my own son.
So cultivate that, work on that.
Yeah.
God, this, in our circles, we love theology and we love doctrine. Mm. And I think because of the abuse of so many people talking about the love of God, mm-hmm. and that He's just lovey-dovey and He just loves us and we're so lovable. And it's such a hash that you bring up the love of God in our circles and it's like, whoa, Pally, whoa. And yet, Romans 5, 1 and 2, that Christ brings us, He introduces us to God. He brings it. Mm-hmm. That God actually does seek a relationship with His children.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a shame. I see this regularly. When something gets really abused mm-hmm. out there, we just run a million miles away from it. It's like, wait a second. These charlatans are robbing us from really good theology.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear prosperity preaching, and we would be very slow to say, well, God actually does bless obedience.
Sure.
No, it's not the quid pro quo money system they're pitching.
Yep.
And I think the love of God is one of them. That we might know the knowledge of the love of God that He has for us in Christ that surpasses knowledge. And I think the implication of Paul is that it's an experiential love. And then again, we get a little bit nervous. Well, wait a second, we're not mystics. This isn't an ooey-gooey relationship, correct and correct, but God has brought us into relationship mm-hmm. that we would speak to Him, that we would hear from Him through His word, through His people.
Yeah.
How did you develop that and allow yourself, even as perhaps a slightly less emotive guy, to know the love of God in Christ Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you understand the message of the Bible, the broad message of the Bible, which is God created us to be in relationship with Him. He created us to love and be loved by Him. And then you understand how far we fell, how far we ran away from God, and then see God reaching out. You read the Old Testament, you read the New, you see the extent to which God will go to draw us back to Himself. That is love. That is love beyond what we can imagine. And so you come to understand that our love is just a pale imitation of God's love. Our fatherhood is a pale imitation of God's fatherhood. How can you but have your heart move toward God? And I think you're right that we can throw the baby out with the bathwater too often in our theological tradition, whatever it is. And we can miss out on some very, very precious truths that can sustain us. So theology is good, but not when it's abstract. We don't need, in our darkest moments, we don't need abstract theology. We need living, breathing theology that's grounded in the character of God, not just in a catechism or cold truths. We need living truths. And that's what Christian doctrine is. It's the outworking of God's character and the description of God's actions. And in our difficult moments, that's what we need. We need to draw upon God, what's true about Him.
Would you like to hear more? You can do that at the YouTube machine. Just look for Breaking Bread, Tim Challies, and you will hear the entire conversation. Really working through his book, Seasons of Sorrow, which is such a good read. Encourage you to consider getting that book. We have it in our store, wretched.org, to help you prepare for seasons of sorrow if you're not in them already. Challenge for all of us. Have we been acting too much like dualists? We've been amassing knowledge about God, but it has not warmed our hearts and solidified the relationship that we have with Him, which will prepare us to withstand the difficulties that this life inevitably brings. We would all do well to consider if we have been separating faith from our lives and start working now to join them and to know the love of God before tragedy strikes. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.